Welcome to the Lab Up Leaders series, a showcase of global change agents and experts in healthcare and laboratory management. Here's your host, Lab Up Global Founder, Robert Farias.
We'd like to welcome Ali Quizera to the Lab Up Global Leaders podcast. Ali, how are you? Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Robert. It's a good opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you. Ali, can we introduce you to the audience, please, with your starting off with your academic background?
Sure. Thank you so much. Well, like you said, my name is Ali Quizera, and I attended Makerere University. That's like the largest, or actually the best public university in Uganda, where I graduated with a bachelor's degree in biomedical lab technology. That was way back in 2008. And I chose to study from that university for my bachelor's because I wanted the opportunity to be part of a larger, more diverse, you know, student body. And by then, it was one of the only few public universities offering a bachelor's degree in medical lab because it had just started in my country, Uganda, to before all the medical labs, there was no bachelor's degree, it was a diploma. So I think the program started in 2005, and I think we must have been that cohort. So after finishing my bachelor's degree, I decided to enroll into a master's program in public health at a private university still in Uganda called the International Health Sciences University, where I graduated in 2014. Basically, that's my background, my academic background.
So Ali, why did you, what was your interest in the medical lab field?
What interesting question. And I think just like many lab professionals, I think we did not know. Most of the lab professionals that I've come to know actually didn't know that about lab profession. So when I was in my vacation, senior six vacation, that is, I think after high school, going to college, I worked at a pharmaceutical company, you know, during that period, because it's like a long holiday, 6 months period. So during that time, we used to supply drugs and to different pharmaceuticals in Kampala and medical lab, you know, reagents. And I was fortunate, you know, to go into, we were delivering some laboratories to one of the best private labs called Ebenezer Lab. So I entered there, and the first thing that kind of caught my attention was the cool AC, you know, the machines were in this cool place, and I was seeing these guys in white coats and lab coats, you know, very, very organized and planned. It kind of caught my interest because actually, even when I was filling in the forms, I filled in, my first choice was medicine, you know, at Makerere University. Because I didn't know about, you know, medical lab. I knew medicine, I knew nursing, I knew pharmacy. So unfortunately, when my results came out, I didn't qualify for a government scholarship for medical course in Makerere University, though I was qualifying for that in another university called Marara. But Marara is quite like about 5 hour distance, you know, from Kampala. And I think being young, I didn't want to travel far away from Kampala. So I remembered the guys I saw in lab, you know, in that lab side setting. And luckily enough, I saw Makerere was offering, you know, a bachelor degree in laboratory. So that's how I said, let me be among guys, like such guys who are smart, you know, working in SE. So I did not really know what it's all about until I entered into the course. So that's how I got to know about it.
Great. So from a professional perspective, Ali, can you guide us through some of the journey you've taken?
Okay, my journey has been quite interesting one, and I would like to say that I don't know if it's good, it's a positive side or not, because even though I'm a lab professional, I have really never literally worked on the bench. Immediately I graduated in 2008 from Makerere University, I was hired, I would like to say I was one of the luckiest graduates of my class in that immediately after my final exams and before graduation, I got my first job as a laboratory specialist at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. This was like a CDC-funded AIDS relief project. It was a big global project in countries, and I was hired to be the lab specialist in Kigali, Rwanda. That was July of 2008. And I remember I told you we just finished exams, you know, in June. So within just 1 month, I was really, really blessed. And during that period, I performed mostly lab capacity building activities, you know, including coordinating lab staff, laboratory support, field visits, because that was really the height of the PEPFAR program. So we used to technical assistance when you go in the field, the laboratories to help the different laboratories on testing to make sure that the equipment's functional, the maintenance and troubleshooting, and especially capacity. By then, CD4 was like the best thing for, you know, best test for the, you know, for the AIDS program. So immediately I went there. I was actually the first guy, the first lab person on the program. And after 2 years of working hard and alone in the program, we were supporting 20 laboratories or 20 health facilities. They always call them in your local facilities to trade areas, something like that. So I was luck and favor, I think, allowed me to follow me. And after 2 years of serious dedication, commitment, and hard work, as a laboratory specialist, I was promoted to be the country lead laboratory specialist, which made me the lead of the country lab program. And in that way, for about 2 years, I was mostly responsible to provide strategic leadership and technical direction under the global lab program for the Rwanda in the 20 laboratories in the southwestern region of the country. And one of the things I remember in that time was trying to improve the laboratory diagnostics through selection, procurement, installation of CD4 fax counts. That was before they were phased out. And then we used to have also machines like the Humalizer, you know, the 3500 chemistry Humalizer machine, the Sysmex Porsche 100i, I remember, for hematology equipment to help meet low and high testing needs in those laboratories. I was, unfortunately, since it was a CDC funded program, the program was transitioned in 2012. So about 3.5 years of my working, we transitioned the program to the Ministry of Health in Rwanda. That was, and then I had to return, you know, back to, I left Rwanda, then back to Uganda, and it was during that period that I decided to my surprise, actually, Robert, I thought I was a big man in Rwanda, so I'll definitely get a job first in Uganda. But my surprise, it became really hard to get a job in Uganda, despite almost 4 years experience that I gained in Rwanda at a management or, you know, leadership level. So that's, it was then that I made a choice to enroll into the Master of Public Health program as I waited for a job, because I didn't want to sit and keep searching and say, okay, let me do something. And no sooner had I completed final exams once again, you know, than I got a job as a senior laboratory specialist for the CDC-funded SEEDS project in Nigeria. So I was once again the lab lead for one of the states. It was called Enugu State for our program. And during that period, I promoted the strategic positioning of point of care, but again, technology for CD4, HIV, PCR, and others. So, you know, PCR had really come in the language of, you know, Alpha diagnostics and viral loads were now the language being spoken during the PEPFAR, you know, lab programming, Alpha diagnostics and ART toxicity monitoring at different levels of the health system. So I worked there for about 3 years, from 2013 to 2016. And there is a home sweet home. I kind of felt like, I think I miss working back in my country. I tried to return back to Uganda. And I returned back to Uganda in 2016 as a senior lab advisor for Elizabeth Pediatric AIDS Foundation. This was the first time I worked for USAID funded program, because all the waving between Rwanda and Nigeria was under the CDC funded programs. So this was the USAID Bright Southwest project. And my main responsibility there was usually also mostly to provide technical leadership and oversight for the project team on the expansion of diagnostics and laboratory systems networks to improve access to quality HIV testing. And it was during this period that I was among the lucky few lab advisors selected by CPHL. CPHL is Central Public Health Laboratories, is the body that is responsible to support and mandate and organize or manage laboratory programs for the Ministry of Health, to be trained in ISO 15189 lab quality standards by Africa Society for Lab Medicine. And during that period, I also became a certified WHO Afro-Selecta auditor. So as a certified ASLM auditor, I was able to carry out different ASLM certification audits on behalf of ASLM and, of course, on behalf of CPHL to laboratories, you know, and we trained different laboratory professionals on laboratory quality management systems and biosafety and biosecurity trainings to about over 300 applications. And it was there again, I always like to use the word, you know, luck and favor that followed me. I decided to, but favor followed me, and I was able to leave Uganda, and I got a job, moved to the US, and I was able to get a job with ICF, and I worked as a senior infectious disease diagnostic specialist. This was an interesting job because this was the first time I was kind of transitioning in a way from lab directly to a more broader, you know, kind of field where I was not specifically doing only lab work, but it was that the diagnostic scope and only of all the infectious diseases. So I relocated to the US and worked as a senior infectious disease diagnostic specialist at ICF International and also a USAID infectious disease detection and surveillance project. And during this was a very interesting multi-million USAID project. And I was again very fortunate to be delegated to oversee the development of, you know, six global health security, I was a technical focal person for the East African region, luckily enough, so Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania, Ethiopia. So all the global health security activities, I was the focal person, technical focal person, you know, years in between them, IDS and USAID. So it was really this time that my kind of world kind of became, the scope became a little bit diverse, to deep management, work planning, supporting countries on work planning, budgets, and being the, you know, point of contact and representing East African countries to USAID admissions on programmatic and management issues related to current or proposed activities. And it was one of the things that I enjoyed during that period was also participated and provided technical guidance in the Zimbabwe TBDNA. TBDNA is Diagnostic Network Assessment. This is something that is very interesting that I want to know about, where you look at the entire cascade of the TB diagnostics, not just from the lab perspective. Lab is part of it, but also now what else, you know, what other networks that you bring on. And as I was there as an external consultant that reviewed the diagnostic networks and current practices and provided evidence-based recommendation to the National TB Program. I know it's quite long, but I'm about to summarize my profession because I'm trying to go step by step to really show you where, should I say, God has brought me from there to where I am currently. So before, again, during ICF, I was kind of being, had trust in me to lead something called the Laboratory Network Spatial Analysis. This was something that USAID was very much interested in. So I was made the lead lab network spatial analysis advisor, where I led and provided technical guidance to the laboratory network analysis team, you know, that consisted of TB diagnostic experts, geographic information system experts like GIS experts, data manipulation experts, conduct analysis of laboratory diagnostic network in some of the selected USAID TB priority countries. So I provided technical leadership and coordination in that, in at least 10 countries that inform strategic planning for national TB programs, you know, for evidence, for, you know, providing evidence for the design of an efficient and effective TB diagnostic network, which I did until last year, until this year in February, where I kind of again tried to shift my, like, kind of getting back to the lab core. And I left ICF and joined GSI, the Osmo Link International, as a senior lab technical advisor, where I'm still currently working under the PFSM partnership for supply chain management portfolio as one of the subject matter experts on technologies for TB, HIV, viral load, LFI diagnosis, malaria, as a, you know, and overall, I think that's the end of my professional life. You can see it expands about 14 years where I've supported directly and indirectly, you know, over 25 countries in Africa and Southeast Asia in different capacities and capabilities. Thank you.
And I think, Ali, it's a very interesting story how bench experience is certainly something that's valued in different contexts. But at the same time, somebody can have great contributions into the lab networks, into the lab performance, into lab management overall, by bringing different skill sets to the table, and obviously following a certain trajectory with work experiences and other activities. So that's a very interesting twist on the experience as well from a lab professional who has such an impact on so many facilities, yet at the same time didn't actually get to spend as much time at the bench. As you imagine, some of the people. So that's quite interesting as a twist. So, Ali, there's a lot of people who begin in the med lab field from their studies, who move on to an MPH, who move on into the fields of lab management and capacity development. This is something that is quite of interest to many people. And obviously, there's a lot of programmatic work happening in that space these days. Could you give some advice to people who are interested in following that path? Things that they should maybe consider, areas they should try to strengthen their own skills in, some thoughts leading towards that?
Thank you so much. One thing I know is whether your students are pursuing or thinking about the medical lab science course, or you're already a qualified lab, but maybe at a bench, we should be proud to know that lab professionals, not only in Africa, but globally, are the backbone for quality diagnostics. And one interesting that I've come to really appreciate the medical lab science field, the opportunity to choose the work settings, you know, you kind of prefer, it's kind of wide scope. You know, you could work in general, or, you know, you could decide to be on the bench and work in hospitals, or you could work in private hospitals, or you could, you know, do standalone diagnostic laboratories. And even in that, they are different specialization you want, you know, for example, that some who are microbiologists, and those who are immunologists, clinical chemistry, hematology, biology, etc. You know, so we need, just like how we see the LKMS, where we have 12 essential elements, and each element must, you know, build on one another. Like, you cannot have, you know, you cannot have one element missing and you expect quite a result. So the same thing, we need each other, whether we are on the bench or you decide to leave the bench and go into management or administration. And it's actually very good, Robert, that we have, because right now, I remember some countries, there was still some tension between lab and doctors in that, because according to LKMS, a director of lab should be a medical person, you know? So there was misunderstanding of why should a medical person, a medical doctor, be the director of the lab. I've got through continuous trainings of LKMS and appreciating what it entails. We've come to understand that. But if we have a lab director as a medical doctor, and we have a lab manager as a medical, as a lab professional, you know, it's very important to have a mix of both. And I'll be honest with you that in my interesting career, there are some things that I have wished to, I would have spent some time on the bench, you know, to really know the not just the theory of the testing and what it tells from sample collection, you know. I wish I had that, but I did not have that, and I had to kind of always refer to. Like if I take you back my days, whenever I go to a lab for technical assistance, they would actually be surprised. I would actually tell them, can you show me how the CD process is that? You know, really, and I'll put on my gloves and lab coat. And I practically run a sample just to, you know, to keep myself afloat as a lab profession. So one of the, it's very interesting because we need both both the technician, the field side, and also the public health, you know, because now things are changing with the COVID, with the current infectious diseases that are happening. We need that that balance, you know, the safety in the laboratories, the lab procedure, who in the policy that will come up, or, you know, how do we really improve safety and working on the global lab laboratory safety. So regardless of, in my summary, regardless of the cadre of your of the lab profession that you will be or that you are, you know, the market is still there and still expanding, and it's good to follow your heart and also do what you think is best at that, whether you at your country context or wherever you are. But interestingly, whether you're on the bench or not, we still follow the LKMS, you know, because all aspects of lab operations, including the organization structure, the processes, procedures, need to be addressed to assure the quality of the lab. So I think one of the, it's just good for your heart to see what is that you want. Before I leave, I want to give an example, Robert. There's a friend of mine that I met in Rwanda. I used to work in the National Defense Laboratory, and I always tell him, why don't you come and work together, you know, in the other side of lab? And he would say, if all of us leave the bench to come into you know, the administration and management and who would be running this test? So we need each other. I need you to be there so that you can advocate for me. You know, and you also need me here. You also need me to be on the bench so that I can do the viral load and the yearly testing. So that is an interesting thing, I think.
That is very interesting, actually. I mean, I think it's also something that's sometimes misunderstood, I think, as well, how much both sides need each other. And certainly, I think there's obviously a disproportionate number of people, just volume-wise, that you need performing tests relative to those supporting their management and supporting capacity development as well, I guess. But at the same time, there are both critical facets and certainly going to be around for some time. So, Ali, just at this point, just like to ask you, everyone's had some people who've helped support and mentor them along the way. Your career has taken some interesting trajectories, and certainly some people have helped and helped to support that as well. Can you take a few moments and help us acknowledge some of your mentors who may have been particularly active for you during the past your career?
Thank you so much, Robert. I have had the opportunity to have great, great mentors in my professional life. But always, every time I think about where I am right now, I always want to acknowledge a great lab professional by the name of Joelle Dominique. She believed in me when I was just straight from the university and hired me directly to the A-Trade program. That means introduced me to the NGO world that has shaped my career and life. And she was my first supervisor and mentor. I was able to learn the so many aspects of lab management. And the fact that this is someone who neither worked on the bench or worked in the management, but because of the one thing I forgot to mention, Robert, the course we are doing in Makerere was quite interesting because we used to have hospital attachments. So every semester, you spend about 2 months mm-hmm. in different hospitals, in the different laboratories in Kampala. So you So if we have six semesters, that means that you spend 2 months in at least in six different hospitals. So that way you're able to learn. And one of the hospitals one of the places that I graduated before graduation, I spent most of my time was JCRC. That was like the biggest organization in the country back then. Even now it's still very strong and still there. So I used to work there, I used to do that, my attachment there. And I did my final thesis also there. So it kind of also helped me because it was the one of the leading organizations that was doing the lab testing, I think like that. So when I came from there, I think it was easy for Joel Dominique to see something in me and brought me up. So she's my first really mentor that I acknowledge. And then one mentor I cannot forget to mention here is someone that you know very well, Dr. Francesco Marinucci, whose lab for lab profession is highly commendable. There are people I know who love lab, you know, but he's one of the professionals who are really, wherever he is doing, his thought is always on lab. And he was my second supervisor, during the Adrian program and my mentor since 2010. And we are still in touch. And he's been really, he shaped my thinking, and he shaped my career path too, and I'm always running to him for any advice. And how can I not mention yourself, Robert? Your love for the lab profession is so paramount. Ever since I came to know you, I think that was most likely 2014. And worked with your different levels and capacities. I have learned and loved more being associated, I appreciate you being as loving, medical lab, and you are really one of the mentors I look up to, and I love every time we get a chance to talk and meet your thinking and your passion towards improving lab, and even as well we have been this conversation right now because of that. There are so many other mentors to acknowledge really in these 14 years, but whom I cannot start mentioning by name due to the limited time we have. Nonetheless, I acknowledge each one, each mentor that I have that has shaped my professional career for the past 14 years, in the different capacities, different countries that I've worked for. But for now, I thought I should mention those three because they come first on my mind, and also because of the love they have for lab. Thank you.
I appreciate that, Ali. It's probably more the reverse. I'm always very impressed when we get to sit down together and talk and understand your perspective of things. The amount someone can learn in a few moments of listening to someone is quite interesting. And I think your varied experiences have contributed to that. But as well, you as an individual have a very unique perspective on many things. And I think that helps you both in your job and as well as and the performance that you're delivering in all these works, which is why you keep getting these very interesting assignments that continue to take different directions. So Ali, I'm very pleased to have had you today. Thank you for making the time for us, and look forward to catching up with you again soon.
The pleasure is mine anytime. Thank you so much.
To make a suggestion of someone that would make a great guest or topic you would like to hear more about, please visit us at labop.org. That's labopp.org. Thank you.